Testament lesson for the second last Sunday of the church year is from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. What makes these two verses immediately challenging is that they are Aramaic, not Hebrew. So I get to indulge one of my favorite hobbies, teaching an entire course in Aramaic in just a few minutes here. Let's see if we can cram two verses plus an entire course in Aramaic in. Start first to Daniel 7, verse 9. There we read, Chazeh Kaweh Adi Karasau Remu Vatik Yomim Yathiv. Let's just go that far first. I was looking, Chazeh Kaweh. Here we have an interesting something interesting in Aramaic that doesn't happen very often in Biblical Hebrew, but is quite common in modern Hebrew, and that's this kind of periphrastic construction using the verb to be plus a participle. I was looking. Hayah and a form of chazah. Here the participle, this first word is a what in Aramaic is a pa'al participle, which is the equivalent of the kal in Hebrew. You can see the same form with the long A instead of the long O. The transformation between these initial long A's versus the long O is just one of the differences between Aramaic and Biblical Hebrew. But it's the same form as the call participle, just vocalized slightly differently. So I was looking, until. Now this is the equivalent of the Hebrew ad asher. This word D doesn't occur in Biblical Hebrew, functions like the modern Arabic do in the sense that it indicates a genitival relationship, much like our word of in some cases. In other cases, it functions like the Hebrew particle ki to introduce a wide variety of types of clauses. And in some cases, it functions like the Hebrew word asher. And that's what we have here. In Hebrew, we have the same idiom with asher, ad asher, meaning until. But in Aramaic, we have adi, a very common idiomatic phrase meaning until in Arabic. So, I was looking until Karsawan Remu, until thrones, Karsawan thrones, were Remu, were set up. Now here the word throne, Karse, is related to the Hebrew word kisse, throne, this word occurs in a variety of Semitic languages, sometimes with the R or the resh, and sometimes without. So Arabic has kursi, the word for seat or throne. Old Akkadian and Assyrian have kusium, without the resh. And so in the same way, Biblical Hebrew has the word without the resh, kisse. Aramaic has karse, with the resh. So that's the difference. But it's otherwise, again, the same word. The an ending is the feminine plural ending in Aramaic. So karsawan is plural, feminine plural, thrones. And by the way, the masculine plural ending in Aramaic is een instead of een. We'll see that later on here. Remiu, the pe'al, or equivalent to the call, perfect, third common plural, means to throw or place or cast. It's the same word in Hebrew. Here the idea of throwing thrones or putting thrones is equivalent idiomatically to our use of the phrase like pitching a tent. We throw a tent to set it up. And here, idiomatically speaking, the same idea. Throw a throne or set up a throne. And wa'atik yomim yathiv, and an aged one with respect to days sat down. Atik, an adjective that occurs in both Hebrew and Aramaic, simply meaning aged or old. Yomim or yomim here, the masculine plural Hebrew equivalent would be yamim, days. So one ancient with respect to days, yathiv. Here we have a different phenomenon between Aramaic and Hebrew. We have in these two languages the alternation of certain vowels. And the Hebrew word is yashav, and the Aramaic word yathav. This alternation of the shin and the tau between the two languages is quite standard. You find great many words. Show the Hebrew word shor, meaning bull, the Aramaic word tor, course, the Greek taurus, taurus, comes from the Aramaic form with the tau instead of the shin. An aged one, with respect to days, sat down. Lubushe kathilag kiwar. His garment, lavouche, here lavouche, again a word that occurs in Hebrew about 30 times, meaning a garment or clothing. The A on the end is the possessive suffix. It's O in Hebrew, but A in Aramaic. So his garment or his clothing was kithilag. Here preposition ka plus the word shelag. Again, with the tau instead of the shin. Sheleg, Hebrew word for snow. Thalag, the Aramaic equivalent, same word, meaning snow. And the kaf preposition, like or have. So his garment was like snow, kiwer, white or pure. This word, again, occurs in Aramaic. This is the same word as the name of Moses' associate Hur, Aaron and Hur. So Hur, the name in Hebrew, means basically whitey. Commonly occurs as a name in the Old Testament. Also occurs as a verb meaning to be white, and also a noun form referring to linen, you know, a garment, a material that is white. It's been made pure white. So his garments were white. And his hair, sa'ar, the same word we have in Hebrew, his hair was the hair of his reshay, here the Hebrew word rosh, resh, and again the masculine singular possessive ending, reshay, his head, so the hair of his head was ka'amar nake, like wool. Here the Hebrew word is spelled slightly differently from the Aramaic word for wool. It's tzimmer instead of with an I and with a tzadeh. Again, the same kind of alternation of consonants between shin and tau, and here between ayin and tzadeh. We find that there are quite a number, half a dozen or so consonants that regularly shift between these two languages. And we often have a number of words that are the same, but with the one consonant variation as a result. So the hair of his head was like wool, nake, pure or clean. It was like pure wool or clean wool. This word has cultic significance in Hebrew. Naki in Hebrew, with an aleph on the end, often means to be cult, to be ritually pure. I don't think we have any of those overtones here. I think we have simply a generic use of the word here, secular use of the word, if you will, not a cultic use in this context. The next phrase, kar seye savivim dinur, and the same word we had earlier for throne, kar se, here plural construct with the possessive ending, the A ending. So his thrones were sivivin, saviv, again this word again occurs in Hebrew, saviv means a flame of fire or a tongue of fire or perhaps a spark. So flames is probably the best we can do here. His throne was flames of fire, di nur. And here you can see one of the other uses of di. We saw di used as a share previously. Here we see di used just like we would use the word ha in English to indicate a genitival relationship. So his throne was flames of fire. Makes it pretty easy. Aramaic doesn't employ the construct the construct state to the extent that Hebrew does. It often uses this word di instead to indicate the genitive, just like we use the word of. One other interesting note about this word saviv, meaning flames or tongue. There's a lot of debate about this word that we won't necessarily get into here, but part of the debate has to do with whether this is the same word spelled zavah elsewhere, and in the divine title Baal Zavah, in which case it's typically understood to mean fly, the fly lord. But it may, some scholars have suggested that it means Baal the flame, that is, rather than Baal the fly lord. But that's probably beyond our ability here. But just to note in passing, this word Saviv is sometimes taken to be the same as the word Zaha, meaning fly, or understood to mean fly. Well, moving on to the next phrase then. Dalik Galgilohi Nur. Here we have the verb first. This is a perfect from the verb dalak, which means to burn. Participle. All participle, equivalent of the call participle, in effect. So, burning were the wheels with fire. Here, the word wheels, gal gilohi, the same word we have in Hebrew from the verb galal, gimel, lamed, lamed, that means to roll. This word gal gal in Hebrew and Aramaic and other Semitic languages actually means kind of anything that rolls. It's used once for an eyeball. It's used for balls of dung. It's used for a variety of things that occur that roll in the Old Testament. So rollers might be a general translation, but here clearly the things that roll that would be on a platform with a throne on it would be wheels. And so the common translation wheels is almost certainly correct here. Its wheels, plural with possessive suffix, its wheels were burning nur. Here we have the common practice in both Hebrew and Aramaic to stick a noun on the end and treat it as if it's an adverb. So they were burning with fire. That wraps up in the description in verse 9. Verse 10 we'll have to take more quickly. A river of fire, Nahar di Nur, was flowing, Nageid. We need to comment on that. Was Nafek min Kadamohi, and it flowed from, here we have the same word in Hebrew, Kedem, meaning before, in the middle of. It was flowing from before him. The next phrase, Eleth Alfayim, there's a textual variant here, Kethiv Kerei, that we won't bother with. A thousand thousands, Yeshem Shune. Interesting word, Shamash. One might be inclined to connect this with the Hebrew word Shemesh for sun. But in fact, this appears to be a loan word from Egyptian. One of the few loan words from Egyptian that makes it into Biblical Hebrew, or in this case, Biblical Aramaic. The Egyptian word Shmi means to serve, and this word occurs in Syriac and in Aramaic, probably as a loan word from Egyptian. And so a thousand thousands served him, a plural form, equivalent of the Hebrew P-A-L, a pa-A-L in Aramaic, but you can see the same point in schwa under the preformative, papak under the first root letter, doubled middle root letter, the equivalent of the P-L, plus the object suffix on the end, the A on the end. Hebrew it would be ab, of course, but or who for masculine. So a thousand thousands served him. Waribo Rabwan, to read what the text probably has. We have another Kethiv Kerei situation there we won't go with. But a multitude of multitudes, or as we might translate, 10,000 groups of 10,000. Or if you want to be more literal, I suppose it would be 100 million. Stood, kumun, they stood before him. Kaz, mohi, same word we had previously. They stood before him. Dinah, yathiv, you probably translate the court sat down. Although here, again, they have a problem. This word dina usually means judgment or justice. It doesn't usually mean court. In fact, I don't know that it ever really means court anywhere. It can mean a court case, but it doesn't normally mean the adjudicatory body itself, the court. Some have suggested Though the textual apparatus of BHS doesn't note this, some have suggested reading Yahav instead of Yathav here, give, in which case it would be judgment was given. That's appealing, except the context maybe doesn't quite follow that well. It seems to be inappropriate that the judgment would be given before the evidence was heard. And the next phrase refers to the scroll being unrolled. It seems unlikely that we should expect God to pronounce judgment before he's examined the evidence. So probably the more traditional translation of dina as court is right here, although it is a rare, almost unique use of this word. Then the last phrase, wasifrin patihu, and the scrolls, the sefer in Hebrew, sefarim, it would be in Hebrew, but sifrin in Aramaic, the scrolls literally were opened, yatihu, from patihu, from pathak, where we get the name of the vowel pathak, the same word in Hebrew, pathak, to open. Here a p'il passive form, equivalent of the nithal in Hebrew. So they were opened, and of course you open scrolls by unrolling them, not by unfolding them like a book. So when I translate, scrolls were unrolled. Well, that's the text as we have it. The question is, how do we preach this text? Without going into great detail, one might suggest that one way to preach this text, which is merely a description, is to ask the question, what would God find on the scroll? In the verses following the text, of course, God pronounces judgment on all those forces in the world that have arrayed themselves against him. If we were preaching this to a congregation, we might connect this text with the words of St. Paul in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That what God finds on the scroll when he unrolls it to pronounce judgment upon you is Jesus Christ. At least that's one possible way that one might approach this text for the purpose of preaching. Thank you.